First Corinthians. Many members, but one body. Last Sunday, amidst the glory of the Easter lilies, we celebrated Easter. Tonight, amidst the beauty of the and many more flowers that were brought into the occasion, we have another lovely church wedding. Tonight is going to be a beautiful church wedding. Hope you'll all be here. You're all invited to the church wedding and to my illustrated sermon. But when Jesus went away, before that Easter resurrection, in fact, he described perfectly the reason for his death, burial, likewise for his ascension. The disciples cried out at the thought of Jesus leaving this old world. Who wouldn't? Whose hands would not immediately grasp his garments and bid him stay? But Jesus cried out in return, "Hinder me not! I go to my Father." And to his disciples he said, "I go to my Father to pray him that he will send you another comforter, even the Holy Ghost, that he may abide with you forever." He will never leave you comforter. He will be with you so that wherever even two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Amen. Oh, Holy Spirit, let the kind of glory of thy presence flow over us all this morning. Let us feel thee in the midst for Jesus' sake. And so, he died for our sins. He was buried and conquered death once and for all. So that now none of us need have any fear of death. There's an opening at the other end of the tunnel. It's no longer a dead end street. It's an open tunnel to the light. Glory to God. As I said last Sunday morning, most every one of us here are listening to my voice, or sometime or other had occasion to go through a tunnel, either by train or automobile. Here in New York City, one goes through a tunnel, the whole train. Right here, we go through our first and second and third street tunnels. How many of you have ever driven through a tunnel like that? The Broadway tunnel. Well, you don't shiver and shake. He said, "Why, I should pray. It's open at the other end." And glory to God, that's the message of Easter. Jesus was buried that he might make a tunnel with an opening to the light. And therefore, death is not that sad, somber thing that is known to the unbeliever, the atheist, the infidel. To us, it is but a tunnel to the light. Glory to God. Now, the next thought. In sequences, he is going away. He could have accomplished our salvation and still stayed here. Why did he go away? It was necessary to shed his blood. It was necessary for him to be buried and go down there and grapple with King Death and conquer him once and for all, that we might live again. It was necessary for him to rise again. But having accomplished all these things, why didn't he stay and keep appearing here and there? As he did for 40 days. There's nothing on earth to hinder him doing that I can see in the plan of redemption. Only one reason for his departure. And this is the reason he gave. If I go away, I'll send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And he said, "I wish you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Doubtless some would speak as you would right now and say, "But I'm not a speaker. I'm not a public speaker. I'd be unable." My dear sister or brother, it doesn't matter how timid or bashful or awkward you are, if you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's a power that will come on you. If you have a tongue, and if you have some lips, and if you have some lungs, if you haven't, the Lord can give you some lungs. If you have a body, and if you let the Holy Ghost come in it, the Lord will search hard you with his power, and he's able to make you into a preacher of the gospel and a witness of souls for Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. So, he said
to his own. Go and preach, but do tarry first in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And they tarry. As they do the doorway, the cloud pitches into them out of their sight. This is what the angels thought, but the Father said when he saw the wounds in Christ's feet and hands, upon his brow from the thorns, and the opening where the spear had plunged after his death, we'll leave that to imagination. But God must have thought of how men treated Jesus Christ, the Son of God. However, stepping over that for a moment, here is a great fact. He received from the Father, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, and poured him forth. So that on the day of Pentecost, about 130 people were waiting, praising the Lord, looking to Jesus, ready to go, ready to live, ready to die, ready to be honored, ready to be crucified head downwards, feeling that nothing mattered if they could open up their beings for an open receptacle to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And they were filled. Being filled is not enough. You must be filled to overflow. So you begin to run over. And they began in Acts, the second chapter, to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. In such a noteworthy manner that it arrested the attention of the entire city. Crowds came running from every direction and speculated upon the reason that these people were so enthusiastic. Some said that nothing but wine could make people look and act so happy. And so these are drunken. Others heard the marvelous words they spoke. And this is that these are not college men. They've never been to the great schools of learning. Hence, they've been learning such languages. They have been with Jesus. Peter, who was certainly not an orator, he never could stand out and say, friends, before us, gentlemen, lend me your ear. He's not that type of person. He's just a real good old-fashioned fisherman. Stood up there in the face of the multitudes and preached a sermon that dropped stabs the conviction to the hearts of his hearers, till they cried out, beating their breasts as they cried, what shall we do? Do repent. The promise is unto you and your children, to everyone the Lord our God shall call. The Holy Spirit was poured out the day of Pentecost, and thereafter he had a straight tracing through the Bible that would have pointed out this Azusa's the Pentecostal week at Angelo Temple in a very definite manner. The years passed by. But wherever the flame was lighted, the flame burned. Wherever anyone is saved and filled with the Spirit, I was going to say it's like the measles is catching. That's not a very good comparison, is it? It's like throwing a fire in a dry field. Everything catches fire around it. Everyone who is really saved and has the Holy Ghost is like a honeybee. They're busy for the Lord. They're piling up something else. Friends, I'll tell you that if you really are saved and filled with the Spirit, you'll never be content to live by yourself alone. You'll want to win others to Jesus. And so, some were martyred. Some were had their heads cut off. Some were run through with spears. One was so they stirred back their head in the other night with dipped in boiling oil. Others were crucified. Andrew crucified on the Lamb's cross. Oh, you say, too bad. Too bad. So we go home to glory. The special band will play in their honor. The special orchestras will sound in their behalf. The special singers, while they're martyrs, section. You say, well, you have to keep your life known. You can live in the martyrs, too. You can live the life that Jesus wants you to live. If you suffer, you shall reign. Amen. you gather with him, he's arrayed with him. Hear that? So think it not strange, brethren, concerning the fiery trial that has befallen you, but rejoice in the Lord. And all these things are needful, though grievous. Nevertheless, they yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, the Lord promised that he would send not only the former rain, but the latter rain. Some 35 years ago, correct me. 35 years ago, I beg your pardon, 33 was the 33rd anniversary, which is to be opened this afternoon at a great meeting here. I want you all to be here this afternoon. The Holy Ghost fell in Azusa. Azusa Street is hardly known. I couldn't tell you today if Azusa Street still standing, is it? The street still is. The building is gone. Trying to put part of the post office out or something. Is there? I don't know. Well, no, some people had rented a little building. Some people were dissatisfied with the cold formality of the average church service. Just hold still in the love of God. Yeah. And they wanted to see them firefall. And these people ran up the little store building, never dreaming the far-reaching effect of such a service. They knew that day from night. Nor did they know time to see one from the other. They only knew they were there to pray. And they got down to pray. They didn't say, well, it's 9 o'clock, time to go home. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, everyone should be home. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, they said, yes. These people didn't even have any sense. All they did, they just prayed. For the Lord to wake up a backslidden world and send a Pentecostal Holy Ghost revival of worldwide proportion. Amen. Some of our colored were there. Some of our colored brethren. And our white brethren were there. Different people of different nations were there. When suddenly the fire fell. Glory to God. And men and women were illuminated. And began to speak. And the Spirit gave them utterance according to Acts 2:4. Almost simultaneously. The fire fell at another place in the Middle West. Fell in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Fell in the Reverend Body Church in Southampton. Fell in the mission station of Pandita Ramabai in India. I was a little girl, trying very hard to be smart. Just the smart aleck you say that most school youngsters go through. I'd heard about being atheistic, and I thought that sounded very swanky. And I found my school book, top with the reason to lend credence to the theory that there was no God, that man was formed by Mother Nature from the ocean, and that we had come up through millions of years through the toads and the hoppy toads and the frogs and the fish and the quails and the mammals and the spider monkeys and so on and so forth. And I was seeing him very, very smart. I think as much as anything for an argument. I like a good argument. Especially if I win in it. I don't like it if I lose a bit. I'm a very good loser in that. But I really was in doubt to worry and analyze myself if I matter at all. People who don't believe in God don't matter so much. God's there just the same. God just is. And the more scientific research that is made, the more scientists realize there is a great cause back of all this effect. One day I was studying my school book. Nicholas Warrior, the Salvation Army of Ingersoll, and this is relative, famous Spanish Chelsea, was a visitor at our home. And I heard her telling how the Pentecostal fire had fallen in Los Angeles. I was waving it. Ingersoll, Ontario, Los Angeles sounded like the end of the earth to me. They wouldn't give me one little teeny flutter in my heart if I knew I was stepping on a boat leaving for Australia. I mean, I'm traveling, I just become accustomed to it, like it. But then Los Angeles is far away. And they said, not only that, but it's a jump. It's one of these fires that bounces. Whoever strikes it, reaches. Whoever gets it, He gets out of train here, and then out of the dealer, a horse and buggy carries it with him and sits down to the next person. And they're all set out of town. They sit down to the next person. And it is in Toronto. And being a very little girl, I said, well, if they ever come near Ingersoll, I'm certainly going to hear them. That's the nearest thing to reality that I've ever heard. I was brought up in church. My father led the choir of the Methodist Church. And got a Salvation Army, put Methodist Church together. Used to recite and stand on a drum head, and I learned my first waltz in the Methodist Church. And liked the truth. And I couldn't see any difference between the church members as a whole than I could the sinners. We went to the same theaters, went to the same dances. In our towns, just maybe they don't in Los Angeles, and did the same thing. Well, it didn't seem much different. They both smoked, and smoked the same brand. That's right. They didn't have one brand for our Methodist and one brand for the world in it. So I wasn't very much impressed. Revivals left me rather cold. But when the sign was tacked up in a little window, it said the same revival that has swept Los Angeles, Azusa Street, a little bitty street that suddenly people have begun pouring in here from every direction saying, where's the revival? Fire, fire, where's the fire? Stopping the police from the corner and saying, I understand that there's a Pentecostal revival on. There hasn't been one for so many years. But where's Azusa Street? This is why, I don't know. Church me. I said, well, church you. Where is it? I said, well, wait a minute, I get my map here. And policemen began pulling out their books and looking for where the Azusa Street was. And it was in such a little nondescript part of town. Such a humble bit of a building. And such a lowly, humble sort of folk. All that of a mixture. Oh, God loves to use the humble, lowly people. God just loves to take the things that are not to confound the mighty. When I heard you just sign up in my hometown that the same people were represented by Robert Temple and his assistant, you can imagine the mixed emotions and the big question mark with which I attended the meeting. Sure enough, people had caught the fire. Really? You can't keep this thing in. It's one of those fires that just grow. And everyone that touches it, as I said, it flashes to the next. By the time I reached me, several people in our town had received not only conversion, but they'd been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. And of all things on earth, they said amen out loud in church. I'd never heard of it before. And I laughed. I thought it was funny. And I'll never forget the milkman. I knew him really well because we used to milk the cows and take the big cans of milk into town. He'd go out and sell it in retail. And he really had caught it. Was it just in the meeting that he, when he suddenly lifted his hands, and his hands began to shake, and he said, Hallelujah! I said, isn't that a caution? Oh my, look at that. Of what next? That'll be affecting that on him. Until the preacher came in, and began to give a scripture. And began to speak under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and a shaft like lightning of Holy Ghost conviction went right through my heart. I don't know whether you've ever lived near woods. You call them forests here. We don't glorify them by that. They're just little woods in Canada, in Ontario at least. Did you ever see a tree that's been struck by lightning? Peculiar looking. All the splinters. It's like a scared man when his hair stands up on end. I remember, well, one time I had a cook. I lived near the parsonage. And he was frightened his hair stood on end. Looked just like that. He didn't know what scared him, did you? I said, no. Somebody's given us a long, a monkey with a long, long tail. And I had a cave built for it. And the cook had been making some of my favorite pies. And I asked him if he'd please take the monkey out and put it in the cage. wants me to ride in the car with me and sit on my shoulder and help me steer and spend a lot of time with me that I wanted to study and he'd get in my way. I said, will you please put him in the coop for me? He said, yes, ma'am. And I had a special spring lock made for this monkey cage because the monkey was so slick, he put his hands out and unlocked the thing and let himself out. And in putting the monkey in, something happened that the spring pulled the door back too quick and it locked the crook in and left the monkey out. And he began hollering for me to come and help him. In the meantime, the monkey was helping himself. He was in the kitchen with his tail all draped down over the sink. He was just helping himself with those pies. Pies never were the same after that. And we know what it is to see anybody with fear when their hair stands on end. To see these trees. And here with him, it is struck to the fire of God, and I was struck by conviction. He said, explain it. I can't explain it. God spoke to my heart. One moment I was a careless, stone me type of a girl. The next moment I was a trembling sinner before the blazing eyes of an angry God who had stripped me of every pretense and little silly whim that I had and said, you're a lost, miserable, hell-deserving sinner. That's the effect of Pentecost. I did not stand it. I turned and ducked out of the meeting as fast as I could. That night, next day, I went on through the routine. I said, well, Dave, sister, something's gotten a hold of me. I'll laugh this thing off. I'll dance it off. I can understand people loving dancing. I love dancing myself. I gave it up, but I gave my heart to Jesus because I don't think the associations are good. And devil's children have stolen dancing from the Lord's people. Dancing originally in the beginning of the cross of the Red Sea with the children of the Lord praising Him. Once more in heaven when they praise the Lord with the rhythm of the music. And I'll skate it off. Oh, how I love skating. I couldn't skate it off. I couldn't ragtime music it off. It had me. In the woods or in the meadow, it had me. In the classroom, or taking my music lessons, it had me. What had you? The spirit of conviction that I was lost and going to die and go to hell. That I was a sinner. It affected a sermon. The third day I went back to me. And I was still defiant. I said, well, I've heard a good deal of talk about you people. A lot of people say this power that you talk about isn't of the Lord, and for the devil, and so forth, so you have to prove me that this is the Pentecostal power for today. My preacher says it was all done away with at the end of the apostolic age. Listen, just a minute now, I'll show you my Bible. No, you don't. Don't show me in your Bible. You show me in my Bible. I want to know it's in a good Methodist Bible. The Bible is just the same. I said, never mind. I'm the one that has to face this thing. And they began to show me the scriptures. I began to get more and more hungry. I began to seek the Holy Ghost. And all of this is the result of the fire that fell here. Think of it. And the fire is still falling. 33 years have come and 33 years have gone. Today I believe there are millions of people baptized with the Holy Ghost on this earth. You'll find them in India, China, the Philippines, Africa, at home and abroad. The message of my heart that I would bring to you is this. That though Pentecost is spread here, there, yonder, meet continents, seas, oceans, top the rich, the poor, the high, the low, yet we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Amen. And this, the message that I bring to you this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, I make no honor to say black or white, yellow or dark, pink or green, doesn't make any difference. Whether we be bond or free, of the old slavery days, we have all been made to drink. Oh, no. Into the one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Glory to Jesus. But now has God set the members in the body as pleased him. And let there be no schism in the body. But every member should have the same care one of the other. And I believe this morning as we open these, glorious Azusa, rally, revival, and time of remembrance, that it would behoove us well to stand and ask the Holy Ghost to cleanse our hearts. First, let us stand and sing together, Lord, make us one.